Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
President Donald Trump protects children who survive abortions by signing an executive order. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, President Trump announced that he has already signed a Born Alive executive order, quote, to ensure that all precious babies born alive, no matter their circumstances, receive the medical care that they deserve, close quote. The executive order, now that it's signed, legally protects babies alive after a failed abortion. Holly, we have been working with Liberty Counsel and Liberty Counsel Action on the Capitol Hill for months, trying to get this particular bill, the Born Alive Infant Protection Act, passed by Congress. And the Republicans on the House have brought it up more than 80 times for a vote. And every time, Speaker Nancy Pelosi has blocked it. She won't allow it to even come to a vote. If they were able to vote on this, I believe that there's enough people that would sign it, vote on it, and pass it over to the Senate, and then the Senate would be able to vote it. It would become law. We've been working on this for months, I'm telling you. And every time, it's blocked. So President Trump decided enough is enough, and he issued this executive order to do what Congress should have been doing.
You know, it's so ridiculous and heartbreaking that you have to fight for these Democrats to pass legislation to save children that live through abortions. I mean, it's unfathomable that we're in this time. But here on the other hand, the president's order says every infant, no matter the circumstances of his or her birth, has the same dignity and the same rights as every other individual and is entitled to the same protections under federal law.
Yeah, he said, we believe in the joy of family, the blessing of freedom, and the dignity of work and the eternal truth that every child, born and unborn, is made in the holy image of God. I will always protect the vital role of religion and prayer in American society, and I will always defend the sacred right to life.
And you know, these abortion survivors, they're not hypothetical. We've talked to them. We've interviewed them.
We've had them on this program.
Yes. Melissa Odin and Claire Caldwell. Those are real people. Gianna Jensen. Yeah. Real people that have survived abortions. So they're not just hypothetical. They're real people.
Yeah. And these are individuals who their mother and this abortionist intended to abort. But they survived the abortion. And fortunate for them, a nurse in some cases, like I think in one of those cases.
In Melissa's case.
Saw this baby gasping for air.
Right.
And cared for her.
But let's talk about what happens when we don't have an order like this, when we don't have protection. What happens?
What happens is what you see with the governor of Virginia.
Mm.
You know, New York legislature, they were high-fiving each other, that they were repealing all these protections for children and, frankly, mothers with regards to informed consent, and that children could actually be born alive and die. And they were applauding that. It was horrible.
And well, he's a pediatrician.
When that happened, Virginia governor wanted to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, he's a physician. So he was on a radio program, and he said, well, if a baby was aborted and it lived, I would have a conversation with the mother. Well, what kind of conversation are you going to have? Oh, do you want to give it medical treatment
or
do you not? Is it thumbs up or thumbs down? If it's thumbs down, then we'll just let it die or we'll throw it in the trash can, whatever. We're going to bring its life to an end.
The abortionist just steps away and lets the baby suffer and die.
And if you do that with any baby, whether they're intended for an abortion or not, guess what's going to happen? They're going to die. They need the help of adults, caretakers, early on in those early hours and days of their life, of course. Mm-hmm. So any of them would just simply die like that from neglect. And so there are many of these that actually are aborted, but they are alive and they die. Now, the Centers for Disease Control says that from 2003 to 2014, they've listed 143 babies born alive after abortions where they weren't killed inside the womb. That is a very low number compared to the reality. Why? Because abortion clinics that ultimately do an abortion and a baby is born alive and it's breathing, they don't call the CDC and say, you know what, here's another one, born alive, but, you know, we just let it die. No, they just count it as an abortion. In many of those cases, they don't even tell the mom, hey, your baby was actually born alive. Remember this story with Dr. Gosnell. He had babies that were born alive because he did these late-term abortions. And what did he do? Horrible. He would break their necks. He would smother them. These little babies. Of course, the parents would never know that. The mother would never know that my little baby was born alive and gasping for air, and the abortionist twisted its neck and broke it. Mm. Oh, my gosh. But that's what happens in these abortion clinics.
And look at New York, where the governor passed this act where you could kill right before birth. You could kill the baby. It's horrendous.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in 2017, Florida reported that 11 infants were born alive following an abortion. Six were born alive in 2018. Arizona reported 10 born alive in 2017. Minnesota reported 3 born alive in 2017. And of course, those numbers are low. Those are probably numbers that come from hospitals.
Right.
And they report it. I can tell you these abortion clinics are not going to report that.
It's much higher.
They're not going to report that. So it's much, much higher than that. Especially these abortion clinics that do late-term abortions. And we also know from the Sandra Merritt case that we're defending Sandra Merritt, some of those are intentionally aborted alive so that they can harvest the organs of the baby while they're alive and then rush them off for a higher price to the research labs and the providers that are the middle person, the middle entity that is between the abortion clinic and the research companies. They whisk them off in express delivery in coolers while the mother is still recovering on the abortion table from the anesthesia. And that is something that is just unspeakable because these babies don't have anesthesia. Not that that makes it any better, but why they wouldn't give some of these babies anesthesia is because the research labs don't want different kind of chemicals in the body because they want an intact, fresh organ that doesn't have any chemicals that are mixed into it.
And none of those precious babies have a choice in the matter.
No.
Not one.
So this executive order, the president waited. He wanted to get the Congress to act. He's actually spoken to this many times, and many people I've met with on Capitol Hill, they're amazing people who love the Lord. These are members of the House and Senate, and they're strongly pro-life, and they were just as dismayed as you and I that they couldn't get enough votes, because in the majority in the House, when the Speaker of the House blocks something from even coming to a vote, you can't vote on it. And the only way you can vote on it is to get enough signatures to override. We were very close to getting enough signatures. I'm talking about Republicans and some Democrats. There was actually a person who was a member of the Democratic House, and he would not sign on to the discharge petition to get this out to the full vote. We sent him faxes through Liberty Counsel Action. And they called our office and they said, well, he's personally pro-life. Well, then we said, prove it. And you know what he did? He switched parties. He switched parties, became a Republican. And the first thing that he did the first week is he signed his name onto that discharge petition.
Amen.
Because he was pushed out because of his pro-life views.
You know, and people's voices matter. You speak up, it works.
But we still needed some additional names,
right,
and we couldn't get it out because you need like a large number, way more than you would need to actually pass a bill once it's voted on. So we knew all we had to do is get it on the floor, and it's a done deal, but we couldn't get it to the floor. And that's why President Trump issued the Born Alive executive order. I applaud the president for doing so. standing for the sanctity of human life. This is the right thing to do for these innocent children. Pray for the nomination at the U.S. Supreme Court. We've mentioned that already. You can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/Barrett, to learn more about this new nominee, Amy Coney Barrett, and get involved in this confirmation process. This will be a significant battle to fill that next seat on the High Court. lc.org/Barrett.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.